It's the Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Senate Republican Caucus. I'm Tracy Ellis. Homelessness took center stage at the state capitol. With little more than a month left in the legislative session, Republican senators emphasized their continued commitment to addressing the crisis and expressed surprise that solutions they put on the table this past fall still haven't been brought before the full Senate for votes. Senator Hans Zeiger says the homelessness situation often comes down to two things.
And that is the crisis of drug addiction and mental illness that is afflicting thousands of Washingtonians. Every family and every community is impacted by this crisis in some way. We have people dying of drug overdoses in our streets. We have laws that are not being enforced. And neighbors do not feel safe in their own neighborhoods. This is a crisis. We can no longer ignore our state's drug addiction and mental health crisis. With that in mind, let me mention three things that we are expecting to get out of this legislative session. First of all, we need to acknowledge this situation. And furthermore, we need to acknowledge the unmistakable linkage between drug abuse and mental illness and the challenge of homelessness. We need to discuss these issues openly and honestly. This is something that we are hoping to highlight in our Senate committees. We have asked for work sessions on topics related to these challenges. So we've been in contact with the chairs of the Housing Stability and Affordability Committee, as well as the Behavioral Health Subcommittee, about scheduling a joint committee meeting to address challenges facing people who are experiencing homelessness and drug addiction simultaneously. We need to examine how we provide drug treatment in our prison system. And we need to look at other states like Rhode Island and learn from their experiences with medically assisted treatment. We've gone down that road a bit, but we need to do more of that in this state. We look forward to working with those committee chairs as we move forward in these very important discussions. Secondly, we will continue the push for policy reforms. Members of our caucus have introduced a variety of bills this session to strengthen mental health and drug treatment, move people from homelessness to self-sufficiency, and promote the supply of affordable housing for low-income families. Senator Steve O'Bannon is pushing for a guardianship program to get help for people who are experiencing drug addiction. He's also working to expand behavioral health peer-to-peer supports. Senator Sherrod Brown has taken the lead on legislation to expand the behavioral health workforce pipeline and to provide tax incentives for behavioral health facilities. I introduced a bill to help individuals who are experiencing homelessness to be able to get jobs. Those who want to get jobs but may have barriers in their backgrounds, we need to make sure that we are stepping up and providing innovative programs for them. And many individuals who are homeless have those barriers. We should do more to promote work. Finally, we have high expectations for the budgets that are about to be released. In a time of record revenue, we can prioritize mental health and drug treatment and make a real difference for our communities without having to raise taxes. Let me be clear about that. We have a budget surplus right now, and we need to devote a great deal of that new money coming into our state toward these challenges of mental illness and of drug addiction. I would argue that for every $2 of new revenue, we ought to devote $1 to mental health and drug treatment. People are dying in our streets of drug overdoses. We've got to step up and prioritize this in our budget. Let's step up and take this seriously in 2019. For the past 6 years, we worked together on a bipartisan basis to prioritize education funding, and we responded in an effective way. Still some work to be done when it comes to our McCleary challenge, but I think that we have satisfied the court, certainly, and we did the major part of the work that needed to be done. We also worked on a bipartisan basis in recent years on these challenges, and we've got to continue that in a major way. And the kind of effort that we expended on McCleary for the last 6 to 7 years, I would argue we now need to expend on this challenge of drug treatment and mental health, prioritizing that. We need to prioritize our mental health and drug treatment infrastructure, fill our training pipeline for careers in this field, and make sure that law enforcement has the resources that they need in our state budget.
Senator Randy Becker agrees that mental health treatment needs to be a top priority.
What we need to be thinking about is that homeless person or anybody suffering from mental health issues, we need to think about them as putting the patient first. That is what this whole process needs to focus on, is helping these people get out of the situation they're in and help them improve their mental health. Now, is it always in what I call stage four that you start to help someone where they're in the worst part of their mental health crisis? Or do you want to start with looking at prevention? And that's a bill that I've done this year that will actually get mental health through telepsychiatry into the schools so that we start looking at these issues early on and hopefully resolving a lot of this before they get to that crisis portion. I know that there have been a lot of bills go out this year all trying to help on this issue, and that's not just the Republicans, it's the Democrats. We've all worked together very well. But we've also had to face some pretty hard decisions. When I look at Western State Hospital and the fact that we've lost our certification, Rainier State School, we've lost part of our certification there, and those dollars that we're going to be spending that we would have gotten from the federal government that we could have been spending on the current situation here in the state, that's offensive to me. We need to continue to work to get that certification back, but not necessarily get the certification back, but I'm excited about the teaching psychiatry unit that we're going to put up in Seattle, and that was through Governor Inslee and all the work of this group, and change the way that we treat people at various stages of their mental health issues. So that teaching hospital is going to be something that I think is phenomenal. But what I really like is that in addition to that, on a bipartisan way, we put money towards getting mental health facilities out into the communities where the people really need that help, and the community can work with that patient, and not the community working, the doctor working with a patient, but the community supporting that patient in a different way than today. Again, I have to say that I think we need to start focusing more on the preventive side of it. I'm going to reiterate that, on the preventive side of it, getting that early intervention so that we ultimately don't have the need for all of the expensive end use portion.
Senator John Braun says there is room in the budget to move forward on solutions.
On the operating budget, I think there are really kind of four areas. We'd like to see emphasis, and I'm hopeful that we will see that when the budgets come out next week. One is on the professionals that do this work. And as Senator Becker said, that started with a proposal from Governor Inslee. That's the training hospital up in Seattle. I think that's a place where we can agree. We all agree that we need to develop this, and it's going to take some investment on the operating side to do that. The other ones I kind of put in three categories. As we transition away from Western States, we all know that Western States, and we could have a lot of discussion about that, we've put a ton of money into it, but we've just frankly failed to operate it correctly, and we've been decertified by the federal government. That's going to cost us some money in the short term, but also brings to light that we have to make a transition away from this large institutional setting into a community setting. And I divide that into three parts, really. One is the community side, the build out of evaluation and treatment centers, of crisis centers, of transitional housing, and it varies by community. Some communities have different needs, but all three of those areas are going to help us kind of bend the curve away from patients, having to be moved to the state hospital. So that's the first step, and that takes some operating money to run those facilities. The next portion is how do we build alternative capacity from the state hospitals, and for I think there's a lot of bipartisan support to move folks into private nonprofit hospitals for the 90 and 180 day beds. That's going to take a rate that is competitive and covers the actual cost. But if we can do that inside the budget, we have private sector partners that will help us build out beds around the state. And that really serves two needs, right? One, it helps us move folks out of Western States or not put them there to begin with. And two, it helps us move those patients around the state, again, closer to their communities, closer to their families, to their doctors. And I think that's good for everyone. So that's something that's going to take a while. We're going to have to make a transition. We're going to have to build private capacity and bring down the capacity, take wards out in the state hospitals as we do that. So that's sort of step two. And then the third step is are really about placement. Where do folks go when they're ready to leave Western States? And that's already an issue for us. How do we build, again, transition housing, long-term care rates that allow for capacity after someone has been at Western States to do things? One, make sure they can make a transition seamlessly, ideally, back into their communities, and two, so that they don't just cycle back into the state hospital over time. So there's a lot of things that really are embedded in the budget that we need to get right. And as I said before, I think that we're going to make major progress in this area in the budgets, or at least the state budget that comes out next week. So I'm very hopeful. On the capital side, I talk about basically three things that are important from my perspective. One, community mental health facilities, behavioral health facilities. And you've heard me talk about this before. I have a bill out there that would propose putting in front of the voters to go above the debt limit to apply $500 million outside the debt limit towards community mental health and the hospital at University of Washington. I think that's important for the simple reason is we can do this inside the capital budget, but we can't do it quickly enough. It's going to take, at our current rate, which frankly is record funding historically for community mental health facilities, it would still take us 10, 15 years to build this out. I don't think anybody's interested in waiting that long. And this was a way to fund that sooner and get it going sooner. And I think that's important. The other, I think, two big items that I would highlight inside the capital budget is, can we expedite planning for this behavioral health training hospital with UW? Can we get that going more quickly? Because we have an immediate need for those folks, and the sooner we do that, the better. And then finally, we're going to have to do something for our forensic patients at Western States long term. The facility at Lakewood is just not the right facility. We're going to have to build out, and that's going to have to have support from the capital budget. So a lot of things inside the budget, both operating capital that we need to work on. As I said before, I think we're doing. We're working in a very bipartisan manner, at least within the Senate. And I'm hopeful that ultimately, as the budgets get rolled out, we'll continue to do that with both chambers.
Senator Keith Wagner is on a subcommittee that focuses on mental health.
I'm the ranking member on the Behavioral Health Subcommittee. And I think the fact that there even is a Behavioral Health Subcommittee kind of underscores the importance that the whole body of the Senate has put on this major problem. I think at the beginning of the year, I said that behavioral health was going to be the number one issue of this legislative session, and I think by the end, I'm going to be proven that that was a correct statement. We've made great headway, and I want to give credit where it's due. The Senator Dingra, who is the chair of the Behavioral Health Subcommittee, has heard virtually every bill and had a hearing on virtually every bill that came forward. So the bipartisan work that we've done on that committee has been great. We've addressed a myriad, some of them have been already spoken to here, but a myriad of elements that are all part of this big animal that we're calling behavioral health. We have some important bills that are gonna put resources back in our local communities where we know that people do better, and if you get them treatment sooner and closer to home, there's evidence that shows they get better and then they don't go further into the system and end up being a burden on us and a detriment to themselves. So Senator Braun talked about some of the budgeting elements of that, how a bonding limit would help pay for those new facilities in local communities. There's bills to address the operating procedures for those. And then if you want to go even one step further to local treatment, there's a very important bill that allows parents to get involved with their own youth's treatment. So right now, the way the law is written, they are prevented at ages 13 to 17 from really being involved in their own children's treatment. So this bill that I think is going to make it all the way will enable them to be a part of their children's own treatment. And that's what I mean by truly local control. And we build on that model. There's some bills that I thought should have gone forward that didn't go forward. I believe Senator O'Ban's bill that had to do with guardianship was mentioned. That's another piece that hopefully we get another bite at it next year, because this is just a beginning point. But that's a piece that allows family members, also the closest people, to help their families who are not in a great condition to make their own decisions and help them get the help they need. So We've got a lot of great things going on. We've pressed the envelope on some elements. I think the training center, the UW Hospital training, addresses several of the elements all at once in a new way that I believe is going to be very effective. It addresses an increase in beds. It addresses the fact that we need to build our behavioral health workforce and that we've got some barriers that need to come down so we can get not only our homegrown behavioral health people, but also to entice people from out of state to come in and fill those positions that we need so badly. It's going to cost a lot of money, and I want to talk about sort of the strings that you attach to that. So even though we're in a very healthy budget, sometimes we can see cases where we throw money at a problem without holding people accountable. And we don't want to do that as part of this treatment. So I want to call out a community in my district, the city of Arlington, who is working very hard to hold people accountable for their actions, and they're having a good effect on the population and bringing down the drug addiction problem and the effect that it's having both on the people who are using the drugs, but the people who live near them. So I would say money is great to have. We need to make sure that we hold leadership accountable. We can't always do that from the Senate, but it's nice to point it out when it's working. And my hat's off to the mayor of Arlington and her team that's doing a great job in her community and getting good results. I'd like to see that modeled throughout the state.
Senator Shelley Short worries that cities might undermine legislation from Olympia by continuing or enacting failed policies.
I think as we go forward with a lot of the good ideas and the budget proposals that we've seen, I think the challenge from our standpoint is that cities don't undo what we're trying to do. If you look at Seattle's, what I believe are very failed policies on the safe injection sites, as we look to put state dollars, hard-earned taxpayer dollars, into making sure that we have treatment for these individuals and maybe the housing needs that they're going to have afterwards and helping them with jobs so that they get out of that cycle, we need to ensure that the cities maintain partnership with us and that don't undermine our ability to make sure that we're just not allowing these individuals to keep in that cycle either with mental health, with the drugs, with housing. So I think as long as we have those cities with us, we think we've got some really good programs and policies and ideas that are gonna bring some good things forward. Even in our rural communities, we're tremendously committed to mental health treatment and evaluation. So proud in Colville, we have a partnership with our local counseling service and with the county and with the hospital. They took an old wing of their hospital and they retrofitted it, and that has become an assistant and treatment facility that Northeastern Washington is using. The Education Service District in Spokane has had a pilot project to embed counselors and mental health professionals in schools so they, like Senator Becker said, get to identify these students and their families early on that prevention side. On the housing side, we've had success again with having bill hearings, seeing things progress, maybe not to the point that we'd like to, with really that affordable housing. We have such a restriction right now in the housing units that are available at all price points. A little frustrated on that. Senator Braun had a great bill on infill development, really focusing in on affordable housing and making sure that folks have access. Some of those are having a little bit of a hard time right now. But we believe that housing and also access to jobs and maybe thinking about what do we do with apprenticeships, maybe for adults who might not be our young adults, but maybe older individuals, that if you can get them that housing, if you can get them that job so they can become stable themselves, there's less likely, you know, it's less likely for them to move back into that cycle. I know, unfortunately, in my own family, we've had a nephew that's been significantly challenged, and I have seen the cycle in his life and how hard it is to get out of that. Again, we want to make sure cities are partners with us and not, unfortunately, undermining what we're trying to do here in the state.
The senator stressed that most of the bills to tackle homelessness enjoy strong bipartisan support. Find us online at wastateledge.org. Follow us on YouTube and Twitter at WashingtonSRC and on Facebook at Washington Republican Senate Caucus. I'm Tracy Ellis. This is The Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Senate Republican Caucus.